Cape Talk. Family Matters.
And we're going to keep on talking to and about mums this afternoon, and a conversation squarely aimed particularly at those of you who are mums to daughters who are teens and tweens. Adolescence can be a really tough time for young girls, and every parent wants to help them develop the resilience to cope with the challenges it throws their ways, particularly if their journey is being shadowed by the specter of bullying. And my guests in studio today run a program that helps parents, and particularly moms and daughters, to prepare for those tumultuous teen years. The program is called CHAT, which stands for Conversations Happening All the Time. And it's lovely to welcome in studio Pam Tuden, who's a clinical psychologist and parent child educator, as well as Ashley Hurwitz, who's a transformational change consultant and facilitator. So thank you so much for joining us today.
So lovely to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Pepper.
Ashley, hi. To those of you listening, I know that there are going to be elements of this conversation that resonate with you. If you have questions for our guests, if you'd simply like to share your own experience and how you have dealt with some of the issues we're talking about, we'd welcome your contribution. You can call us on 021-446-0567. You're also very welcome to leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Pam, why the need for a program like this? How did it actually come about?
Well, interestingly, I was giving a talk on girl bullying and really how it differentiates from the everyday bullying that we understand between boys. And Ashley was in the audience. And maybe I'm going to hand over to her to explain what her response was mm-hmm. to the talk.
Ashley?
So Pam is a very good friend of mine, and I was very excited to go hear her talk. Particularly because I am a mom of twin girls who are 10 years old. And I've always followed, you know, every stage of their development with keen interest and thinking that I'm a fairly engaged mom. I like to think that. Obviously always trying to do the best to help them deal with whatever issues they're facing at the time. So I went to listen to Pam's talk, and it really resonated. I mean, Pam is an amazing, amazing speaker, and obviously her knowledge on the subject is incredible, and the way she shares her knowledge is really engaging and very beautiful. So I walked away from that talk and I started thinking, it's amazing. We're moms sitting in this audience and dads, but so we've heard some of that, like what is bullying, what's the difference between girl and boy bullying, but what actually happens on the playground or in the classroom or at home, and is there a disconnect potentially between what moms think about what their daughters are going through and what they actually are going through? So it started me thinking about formulating some kind of program where we could bring moms and daughters together to start having those important conversations about all the different aspects of what they're going to have to face as teenagers. Because as preteens, that was where I'm at the moment with my girls. I'm thinking, okay, that's what I want to know, and I want to catch them before they're teenagers. Well, I still have that strong bond and connection with them where they still talk to me about everything, and we know that teenagers need to push their moms away to establish their independence. So the conversations need to start happening before they reach that point in terms of understanding what they're going to face and give them some real skills to deal with it. So I approached Pam and I said, this is something we have to do. Like, what do you think of the idea of creating a program for moms and daughters of preteens to talk about various issues? So she loved the idea, and we put together a program that covers various subjects. The first and most important one being, how do you deal with mean girls? Because that's really where they're at right now. And that kind of girl bullying transcends into online bullying, face-to-face, etc. So we know in the world we live in today that that's what they're going to be dealing with as they get older. And then we started thinking that, you know, our second workshop is on cyberbullying. And the third one is on boobs, blood, and bombshells, which is dealing with puberty and sexuality, but more from an emotional and social perspective and how to cope with all the
changes,
ramifications
yeah.
of that. And then our last one is entitled Who's Body Is It Anyway? So that's looking at healthy life choices and then dealing with the things that happen, like eating disorders, depression, anxiety, and how to identify symptoms of that earlier maybe in yourself or in your friends, and so that it doesn't become an overwhelming problem a little bit later. So that's how the program started, came together, and was developed. And, you know, with Pam's knowledge, subject matter knowledge, and her beautiful therapeutic style, and my experience in facilitation and experiential learning techniques, it felt like a good fit. Mm-hmm. And so we started chat, which is...
And here you are with us to chat about chat and about, there are many issues and really important ones you've touched on there. Today I would like us to focus on this concept of girl bullying. Pam, I mean, how does girl bullying differ from boy bullying, differ from somebody just being mean and nasty? Are there sort of, at what point do you call it bullying?
Well, it's such a fabulous question, because we're so quick today, if your daughter comes home with one little moment in her life, to say, oh, don't worry, my sweetheart, she's such a bully. And we have to be very careful, because that's a heavy label to walk around with for the rest of time. And the difference really is, you know, a child can be having a bad day and say something mean or rude, and it is simply an incident. But if it happens over time repeatedly, and you actually have asked the person to stop, then there's intention in that when they don't stop. And that is really where one can start labeling somebody a bully. So, you know, I always say to parents, let's handbrake a second and understand this. And then girl bullying specifically is so different to boy bullying, because they're never going to clap you in the eye and then 2 minutes later be your friend, which is what boys do. Mm. It's much, much more subtle than that. Girls connect through intimacy. If I see you in a shopping queue and I don't know you and I think you've got awesome shoes, I'm going to say, gee, Pippa, or I wouldn't even say your name. Yeah. I'd say, oh, great shoes. Where did you get them? And just in that moment, we will feel connected. Girls connect through intimacy and through face-to-face contact. And boys connect sideways. You know, mm-hmm. they play a soccer match together and there's camaraderie, and that's what bonds them. But the minute there's an imbalance in that power with girls, they start to share not just intimacies, they also share their disdain. So I might say to you, awesome pair of shoes, and I simultaneously, to connect with you, might say, can you believe what she's wearing? Mm. And little girls don't have the filter to know that that's not okay behavior. And because they are glued through intimacy, they use other people to create that bond. And things like exclusion, the act of omission, rolling their eyes at somebody who's wearing the pink clip instead of the purple clip, not inviting somebody to a birthday party with intention. Mm. We're all on a smartphone. She's on a BlackBerry. I know that we don't have to invite her because she's never going to see. And then I feign ignorance. Oh, sorry, I really didn't know that you weren't invited. That is the way that girls hurt each other. Much, much more subtle, very little to show for it. And so it's a slow process. And eventually your daughter might say, or through her behavior, show you that she's not feeling so good about herself. And it takes a long time to discover what's been kind of happening beneath the radar.
Mm. What are some of those signals parents should be looking for when you say that she might start showing that she's not feeling so good about herself? How would that present itself in the home?
So largely they act out at home. So they might become temperamental at home, aggressive, refuse to go to school, and say that they don't know why. In their body they might, you know, kind of be talking about aches and pains and headaches that they have no real reason or cause. And largely, they respond to the social dynamic with pleasing behavior for a very long time. So they still want to go to the party. They still want to please that one girl. And maybe it's important for me to talk to you about what some of those girls actually look like.
Yes, because you actually identify sort of almost the archetypes that play out in this.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So there's what we call the queen bee. You know, they're the queen bees in life and the wannabes. And unfortunately, very early on, there is the queen bee from the age of 6 onwards. And everyone knows who she is. And she's the pretty, charismatic, usually very clever girl who's getting A aggregates. And the teachers and parents will say to you, she can't possibly be the nasty one. She's such a little sweetheart. Because she acts underneath the radar. She's polite to parents. Her work's always done. But she is manipulative. She is able to use her charisma for good and for bad. Then she's got a little sidekick, always the one I call the 2IC. Mm-hmm. And she is not as pretty as the queen bee, but she acts on her behalf. So she often does the queen bee's dirty work for her. She'll say, the queen bee will say to her, we're going to have a party. Make sure that you only invite those four. And then the queen bee looks squeaky clean.
Because it was her 2IC who did the dirty work. Yeah.
Absolutely. We've also got the banker, who goes from girl to girl and gets them to confide in her, and she stores some really nasty information, and at the most opportune moment that is of benefit to her, she spills the beans. Mm-hmm. So she betrays people's trust over and over again. We have a floater. So often moms will say to me, gee, Pam, you know, my daughter hasn't got her bestie. She needs a bestie. Mm-hmm. But really what you want is for your daughter to be the floater, the one who is able to go from group to group, whose self-esteem is not tied to the group. And she's the one who can not be invited to the party but not fall apart because she's actually going to gymnastics anyway. Mm-hmm. She's got a whole different group of people somewhere else. The torn bystander is the one who feels allegiance to this in-group that she's in, but she knows that she has to do the right thing. Mm. So she sees the queen bee and her sidekick doing some awful things, and she knows it's not okay. And eventually she will take a stand, and then, ironically, she's the one who gets kicked out the group for doing the right thing. Mm. And that is a very painful process for moms to bear. And then lastly, there's the pleaser, who you know, will do anything, including losing her own identity and self-esteem in the name of ingratiating the queen bee, and obviously the target, who's the one who's set up to be the recipient of that cruelty. But what I do want to say is that there's also a healthy queen bee. There is that lovely, warm, smart, clever girl who doesn't get involved in all of those dynamics. And we want our daughters to be that girl. You know, I'm not disparaging the girls who are smart and charismatic and beautiful, provided they are not going to act out that insecurity that some of them do have.
Those are the natural leaders.
Yeah, exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. Is that we need those people in society, absolutely, as our leaders. Just for those who might have tuned in late, my guests are Pam Tooten and Ashley Hurwitz. Pam is a clinical psychologist and Ashley a facilitator and transformational change consultant. They run courses called Chat Conversations Happening All the Time, which bring moms and daughters together to talk about some of these big issues that they face heading into adolescence. Today, we're focusing specifically on the issue of bullying among girls, and I'd love to hear your comments, your questions, your contributions, if you've had personal experience with your own daughters or perhaps in your own days as an adolescent that you'd like to reflect on. Remember that you can give us a call on 021-446-0567. There is already an email in here from someone, M, describing a child who, it sounds to me pretty much like I think the pleaser you just described, saying my child is not the natural leader. She's always been quite timid and very much the follower. And she is a very kind and gentle soul. But her friendship circle includes some girls who are much bolder and more outgoing, almost to the point of being precocious. They're 14 now, and I'm really worried about the influence they are having on her. That's a difficulty many parents face. We know so much about, we're told so much about who you hang around with is so important in shaping who you become in these years. Mm. What's your advice to parents who are worried about which tribe the daughter has chosen?
So firstly, the daughter, you know, the girls are always going to try, by virtue of their identity process, to include themselves in the in-group. That is unfortunately what we know. Mm. And you are very lucky if you have a child who is able to sit quietly on her own at break and not mind that she's by herself. Mm. So firstly, you know, that's part of the natural process. But one of the things that we can do as parents is get involved. And this is a very controversial thing because daughters are forever saying to us, please don't, you're going to make it much worse for me. But there are ways of getting involved that don't compromise your child's integrity. And one of them is to get involved with the other moms. So there are wannabe moms as well and queen bee moms. And to get everyone together in your little coffee group or your tuck shop group or your gym group and say, you know what, guys, all of our daughters are together. Let's just decide on what some of the ground rules are that we're going to put forward to our girls so that we're all on the same page. How's everyone going to be included? How is the pleaser going to be responded to? So that if she does make a gesture, maybe the mom of the queen bee could encourage her daughter to say, you know what, when you see that somebody's, and without naming names, mm. when you see that someone's trying to kind of be next to you, you know, whether it's at break or at a party or wear the same clothes as you, because for girls, it's like socialism. Mm. They have to have the same lunch, same hair clip, same, even the same voice sometimes, which is quite horrifying. But to really get the moms to set some ground rules with each other is always a first port of call. And when they're little, to do the same. You know, we always say, so-and-so, I don't mind if so-and-so goes to bed at 12 at night. In our house, we don't do that. But if everyone went to bed at 8:30, how much easier would our lives be? Mm. Simultaneously, we can have that parallel conversation around bullying stuff.
Not easy always, given that we know that some of these archetypes carry through into adulthood. I'm thinking here, I know plenty of queen bee moms. I know plenty of the 2IC moms and the floater moms. If the moms are demonstrating and role modeling a kind of behavior which might be interpreted as adult bullying, it's very hard to expect their daughters to do anything else.
100%. So then we've got what we call the 3F strategy, which I'm going to hand over to Ashley.
Ashley, tell us the 3Fs.
Not what you think.
So this is really just like an ongoing strategy for moms and daughters to perhaps talk about as an option to girl bullying.
We are going to, with permission, take a little few extra minutes of the second half hour of the segment to carry on the conversation about bullying, particularly among girls, because there are quite a few comments and questions coming through. And so many people are making the comment, Pam and Ashley, that queen bee girls normally have queen bee moms. Somebody else saying it's funny. These roles do not change in life. I've picked out all the role players of adult women based on what you've just said. Now, before we broke so rudely, sorry about that, Ashley, you were going to talk to us about the 3Fs as a strategy here. The floor is yours.
Yes, thank you. So as I was saying, this is like an ongoing strategy as opposed to an in the moment strategy. Because mm-hmm. I mean, in the moment, you need to help your daughter in different ways to stand up to a bully or a mean girl. But in terms of an ongoing process to really try and help your daughter figure out all these dynamics mm-hmm. and find her space in the world, is, as you heard Pam say, the first F is fit in. So girls will almost do anything to try and fit in with a cool clique. But as we all know, it doesn't always make her happy. There's lots of compromise that she's compromising a lot of her own values and her own needs and interests to fit in. So it does take some courage, and maybe it will take some time, but moms can get involved in helping her daughter to maybe find another group. So that's the second F. So instead of always having to fit in, maybe you can find a group that is more aligned with who you are as a person and your values. And that could be just a different circle at school or a club or something at school. But if it isn't, and that could also even be joining a group out of school, like a horse riding club or something, where you're going to meet totally different girls who don't really know your history from when you were in grade, you know, one. And then the third F is to form your own group. So there are going to be those girls who really don't want to fit in. Maybe they're not comfortable, you know, trying to find their own, and they can actually form their own girl. It takes a brave and courageous girl to do that, but there probably are lots of others feeling the same way who she might be able to identify and bring together and draw together.
So, and I think if you do that, if you help your daughter when they're 8 or 9 to learn how to do the 3 F's, and especially the one around forming different groups, then when they're 14, they're able to do it for themselves when they won't take that advice from you anyway. Mm. But if you can help, you know, we're quite good at deciding who they will and won't have play dates with when they're 8 years old.
Yes.
Yeah. And we do have reason for that. And I think that as parents, we have to take back some of our good authority as parents and say, you know what, sweetheart, I'm not sure that that's always a good play date for you to have week after week. Let's try some others this weekend. So you are demonstrating but also facilitating for her in the beginning so that she can begin to feel how that possibility would work later on.
Okay. I'd like to ask you both to pop your headphones on because we've got a caller on the line wanting some advice, I think. Ilse Ilmalpo-Strand, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi. My daughter's 11 years old. We're new in the school. She's busy making friends. We had an incident yesterday at netball where she by accident... I'm Afrikaans, where she stepped on the heel of another girl's shoe. And the other girl, I was there, sitting next to the sidelines, ran to her father and immediately began blaming my daughter for hurting her and not apologizing. My daughter did speak to her when it happened, so I presume that she did apologize. They don't get on very well, though. You could see it on the field as they were playing. Afterwards, the daughter, the little other girl, went to other girls, as you were saying, and was speaking badly of my daughter the whole time. You could see what she was doing, and she was doing it very obviously. And my daughter was hurt. And afterwards, she said to me, "Mom, I'm going to go tomorrow and again apologize to her because she was just talking badly about me the whole time, and she was quite shaken up, although she has got a strong personality as well. And I don't know what to tell my daughter."
Tough one. Any advice, Pam and Ashley?
Sure.
Yeah.
May I take this?
Yes, please, Pam.
Okay.
Should I go listen on the radio?
You can with pleasure, Ilse. Thanks so much for calling in. Okay. What would you advise Ilse to do?
So, Ilse, just from what you've described, what we seeing here is an example of relational aggression, which is how girls interact with each other, you know, in that manipulative way that I was talking about. She didn't speak to your daughter directly. She went and in a very manipulative way spoke about her to other people. So your daughter's response was immediately to try and please her and apologize over and over. My suggestion at this point would be to get the coach to step in and to actually say, "Let's discuss what happened, girls, and let's put it to bed." So when they are between 8 and 11, one can intervene and name the behaviors that have been seen. So in this instance, it is the responsibility of the coach to say, "What happened was an accident. She has apologized. It's over now." And to call on that person to do that for you, because it needs to be nipped in the bud, and not to leave it to your daughter to constantly apologize and try and make her way back into the group, because it's not going to happen on her own. So there are times when adults do have to step in, and your daughter might say, "Mom, please don't. In the same way as if you saw your daughter having somebody push drugs on her or try and influence her in a particular way, you would take a stand. This is a moment that you are well within your rights to. And I think it can be very easily handled, actually, if the coach, who's a neutral party, just says, "Okay, big mistake, huge apology done, we finished.
Let's move on."
Yeah.
I'm glad you've touched on this this issue of asking somebody else to intervene from a neutral space, because we've also had an email from Marion who says, "A child at my child's school has actually been moved to another school this year because she had been bullied so badly by another child, and I feel very strongly that this is an unfair outcome. I know her parents did approach the school to seek help, but it didn't help, and I'm really worried about what this says about our school's bullying policies. I don't know how to approach this with them then. Any advice?" Most schools today do have quite strong anti-bullying processes and policies on paper anyway, but what do you do if you feel that perhaps they're not taking it seriously enough or not acting on what you see as bullying? Ashley, would you like to comment on that?
I think that, first of all, schools, they do have these policies, and some are better at implementing and following through on those policies than others. But I think it's also important to understand that a lot of bullying doesn't happen at school. Mm. And especially in the world we live in today with social media, it's much easier for girls to actually bully each other via Instagram, all those other social media platforms, where the principals or the teachers actually say, "It didn't happen at school, it didn't happen on the school property, there's nothing we can do about it," which I do think is a cop-out. I think they are within their rights to do that if it's happening with kids in the same school. But I think it's a tricky one, because it doesn't always happen where teachers and can see it happening, and then they don't know who started it, and so it's a tricky thing. But obviously there needs to be a policy in place and the girls need to understand what that process is and how to work it.
I can add something there, that I think we need to understand the subtleties of girl bullying to have policies that relate to that, because it's very easy to say so-and-so chucked my bag in the dustbin. Okay, he's going to, you know, get a detention for that. But what this mom is saying is that the daughter who was the victim is the one who's landed up being punished, because she's the one who had to move schools. Mm. And although it might turn out better for her, ultimately, it's an injustice. Mm. And again, I say that we as parents, you know, when the process began, we should have a collective where a few moms go and speak to the principal and say, this is what we're seeing, this is what we're hearing, can you please respond to this? And not to accept what Ashley's talking about around the invisibility of girl bullying.
I wish we could carry on talking all afternoon, because it's been a fascinating conversation. I've got several people asking if we'll please podcast the conversation, which we absolutely will do. I'd like to leave our listeners with some contact info, though. If they'd like to find out more about chat, perhaps sign up for one of your programs with their daughters, or simply get in touch to ask questions and follow up. What's the best way to reach you both?
Lovely. Thank you for that. We've got our next workshop on the 26th. Of this month.
Okay.
And it's a Saturday morning, which makes it easy for mums and daughters to come. And they can reach us either at pam@chatprogram.
Okay. And that's chat with two T's.
That's right. Okay. Conversations happening all the time. If you forget, pam@chatprogram.co.za or ashley@chatprogram.
And if you're driving and weren't
able
to hear.
Sorry, can I correct? The email address is chatprogram@gmail.com. Sorry.
Okay.
chatprogram@gmail.com.
For those who might be driving and can't take that down, please feel free to drop me an email on my regular address, pippah@capetalk.co.za, and I'll gladly pass that along to you. Thank you so much for joining us both today. Pam and Ashley, it's been wonderful to have you with us, and I hope that many moms and daughters benefit from the program that you're running.
And can I just add one thing? Just to mention that this next workshop is happening at the River Club in Observatory. Okay. On the Saturday morning, the 26th of May.
And you still have space available for a couple more mums and daughters,
I hope.
We do.
Thank you.
And thank you for the lovely opportunity.
Lovely to have you both with us. Thank you so much.